good to be here with you this morning, and I was blessed with the service thus far. Thank you, Nate, for teaching that Sunday school lesson. Ready for the bridegroom's call. What a challenge. And some of what we're going to look at this morning kind of ties in well with what we looked at there. But two questions to get you thinking this morning. Question number one, how is your relationship with God? Questions that only you can answer yourself. And question number two, are you growing in your spiritual life? Them two questions don't have anything really to tie in with the message that much, just as something to get your mind thinking. How is my relationship with God? Am I growing in my spiritual life? If you're driving on the road, which most of you do every day, and you hear or see an ambulance or a fire truck approaching from behind, what do you do? We're not going to ask Travis what we're supposed to do. I'm just asking you, what do you do when that happens? Obviously, you do what everybody else does. You pull over to the side of the road, let them go. Friday, I was going away, or whatever day it was. It was Thursday, possibly. I'm like, oh, Saren's behind me. Well, what's that? Did I do something wrong? And I quickly pulled over, and it was EMT or medic, something like that, headed out to an accident, which was up ahead, which I had a detour. But what do you do when that happens? You pull over, and you could ask the question, why? Well, they're in a hurry, obviously, but who is it? They're in a hurry. They need to get to their destination as soon as possible. Someone needs their help, and we don't want to be the reason for their delay. Also, there's an urgent need up ahead, and those in the ambulance and or the fire truck have committed to helping those in need as quickly as possible, so we pull over and we let them go. There's a sense of urgency in their commute. And I'd like to tie in with a little bit of the urgent need there. And I believe there's an urgent need in our church today. There's an urgent need in our church today. And no, I'm not saying it's just here at Waterworks. I'm saying the church at large. I do appreciate what I see in our churches. I love our churches. I think we're doing well. But I still feel there's room for improvement. Like has been said, there's always room for improvement. And I think maybe we add room for spiritual growth in our lives as well. But the urgent need I see in our church today is the need for commitment. The urgent need I see is the need for deeper commitment. And I see that in our churches today. This is not indicating that we have lost our way and we deserted our path and we're on the incorrect path. No, that's not at all. But I see room for improvement for commitments inside church doors. It has not happened here, and it has not happened in our district, praise the Lord. But I have heard years ago a Sunday school superintendent saying, and I ask, and I cannot get people to commit to teach Sunday school. And I repeat, I did not hear that happen here, so praise the Lord. But I see need for deeper commitment. Well, what is commitment? And the definition is slightly vague. Commitment is the state or quality of being dedicated to a cause or activity. Like, yeah, that sounds about right. Being dedicated to a cause or activity. And some synonyms for commitment are dedication. And I think these kind of tie in well with where we're headed. When we think of our commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, is what we're going to look at this morning. Synonyms are dedication, loyalty, allegiance, and devotion. A quote I found in studying was, commitment is an action, not a word. And we'd say, well, obviously we know commitment is a word because it's a word, but maybe we could say it's more of an action. Abraham Lincoln, I quote, commitment is what transforms a promise into reality. So if you ponder some of those definitions, we see the depth of commitment. Commitment is more than a promise. It's an action. It's a way of life. Commitment is an unwavering voluntary devotion to our Lord Jesus Christ. And I like that definition. I like the word unwavering. When we think, as you're pondering your commitment to the Lord, is it unwavering? And what level of devotion do we have to our Lord? Consider your commitment. Is it unwavering? Is it steady? Is it fixed and it's firm? And as you sit here this morning and you ponder your commitment to the Lord, or your level of commitment, if there can be levels, sure there's levels. Where are we at? Where are you at? Where am I at? And maybe we need to be honest and ask the Lord to show us where we are at. Lord, where am I at in my commitment with you? What level of commitment, Lord, do you see in my life? Are we dedicated to him? Are we loyal and devoted to him? And maybe you're thinking, and I have it here, the question could be asked, why do we need commitment? Unless we are committed to our Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to fall spiritually. And I don't know why it happens in life, but for some reason, by default, or could we say, if we do nothing about our spiritual life, by default, the natural way we're going to go is we're going to fall away from the Lord. I'm not sure why it is that way. Wouldn't it be nice if by default everyone would just draw closer to the Lord? But the Satan is strong today, and he likes to see us fall away. So we need commitment, because if we don't have it, we're going to fall away. Victory in our spiritual life is impossible without a deep level commitment to the Lord. And I'm going to speak for everyone here this morning that we want to live in victory. I want to live in victory, and I trust you do as well. And if we want to live in victory, and I trust we are, what is going to be required is a deep level commitment to the Lord. And there are times we're going to say, no, we cannot do this or that, go here or there, because we are going to be committed to the Lord, and the Lord does not approve of that. Are we walking, going through life on a journey through life in complete obedience to our Lord? Commitment in God's word includes trusting your life and plans to God. And there it gets a little harsh, because that means we take self out. But Jesus said we're supposed to do that. We deny self and take up the cross and follow him. So if we're going to be committed to God, we're going to just entrust all our plans for our life in his hands. When a person gives their heart to the Lord, now we have a new believer, we say what? We say, not always, but sometimes we say, they made a commitment to the Lord. And amen. That is exactly what they did. They placed their heart and their plans for their life in the hands of God, saying, God, here I am to worship, serve, love, and obey you. Lord, I'm giving you my all. Everything is turned over to the Lord. And true commitment holds nothing back for self. Remember, we denied that, and we're giving it all to God. Everything is given to him. And this person made a commitment to the Lord. Proverbs 16:3, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. And here we see the blessings of total commitment. The Lord will bless obedience and commitment. Psalm 31:5, into thy hand, O Lord, I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. And this verse here is reflecting total dependence, obedience, and dedication to God. Above all, even family and self, to God's will and his purpose for our lives. You know, Lord, I'm giving you my all. And there we see a total commitment. As individuals, we go through life, we can have commitment in various areas. We can be committed in various areas. And the urgency for commitment I see is to our families. And Steve already mentioned it, to our marriages, to the truth of the gospel, and above all else, to God. And I know this is February, but with the turn of the new year, there's a possibility that some resolutions were made a month or so ago. And thus, you are committing yourself to reach a certain goal within a desired timeline, which resolutions are not all bad. Some people are committed to their jobs or hobbies, which properly balanced, not a problem. So the goal for the message this morning would be to encourage us to renew or strengthen our commitment to God, denying anything that will distract us from His will for our life. So are we here this morning? What I wanted to call us to, maybe we can use the word Steve was using, rekindle our commitments, or I have down here renew or strengthen. Maybe turn up the heat, turn up the knob, the volume, whatever it may be, as we focus and look at our level commitment to God. The message title is The Urgency for Commitment. And I invite you this morning to turn to Joshua 24, is where we're going to be here this morning. In Joshua 24, we're looking at verses 1 through 24, but the first 13 verses, we see Joshua gathered the Israelites together, along with the leaders of the people. Then he gave them a short review of Israel's history. And I'm going to read the first 13 verses, but what I want you to listen for is the words of the Lord when the Lord says this. He said, I took. Just look for that. I gave. I sent. I plagued. I brought. I destroyed. I delivered. And I have given you. Because when we get to verse 14, we're going to look now. It says, now therefore. And it goes back to, why is that therefore? Because of what we see in the verse, in the first 13 verses. And notice how the call for commitment is here in Joshua 24. Now, we see that pretty well there in verse 15, which we'll look at here shortly. But the commitment call is, look at what the Lord has done for you, and now, therefore, because of that, how are we going to live? So some, look how Jesus, how the Lord has said, look at what I have done for you. Joshua 24, 1. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel together to Shechem and called the elders of Israel, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Now here we have the Lord speaking throughout the rest of these verses up to verse the end of verse 13. This is what the Lord is saying. Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in the old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And here we have the first one. I took. The Lord is telling the children of Israel what he did. I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau. And I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. Verse 5. I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to which I did among them. And afterwards I brought you out. Verse 6. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt. And you came into the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. We know that story well. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians and brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done. And you dwelt in the wilderness a long season. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side of Jordan. And they fought with you. And I gave them into your hand that you might possess the land. And I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. And I would not hearken unto Balaam. Therefore, he blessed you still. So I delivered you out of his hand. And you went out and you went over Jordan and came unto Jericho. And the men of Jericho fought against you, and the Amorite, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Girgazites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drove them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with a sword nor with a bow. And I have given you a land for which you did not labor, cities for which you did not build, and ye dwell in them, of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not, do ye eat. Wow. What do you see when you look at those verses? I see the Lord is fully committed to caring for his people. I see a people who, without the power and presence of God, would never have made it out of Egypt. I see a chosen people who were protected repeatedly from their enemies who wanted to do them harm. I see the hand of the Lord at work guiding and protecting his children, and then also giving them food to eat and cities to dwell in. And my thoughts went to Psalm 103:13, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. And that's what I see happening in the first 13 verses. The Lord is in full control, watching out for his people. And before we move on, allow me to add, we're serving the same God today. You and I are serving the same God today. And I know I emphasize all that, what he did, I, whole way throughout these verses, but that is beautiful. The Lord is protecting them. The Lord is watching over them in full control. And when we are ready for the bridegroom's call, we allow him to be in full control of our lives. We're serving the same God today. He is in control of our lives. He's protecting us and watching over us each and every day. So Joshua reminded the people what the Lord had done for them. And now, again, we go back to verse 14. Now, therefore, and this is what he is telling them to do. Because of what the Lord has done for you and done for me, therefore, what are we going to do? We're going to fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Now, therefore, because how the Lord took care of us and our families, because of his commitment to you, we are have a commitment to him as well. And here's where, again, we see the urgency for commitment. Fear the Lord refers to standing before him in reverence and awe. It's about acknowledging God's proper place, recognizing his power, and submitting to his will for our lives. Joshua said, listen, children, look what he did. This is your commitment to him as well. And I think this could be the beginning of our commitment. Recognizing God for who he truly is, our all-powerful provider. First fear, and then serve. To serve is choosing to serve the Lord, choosing the Lord as our only object of our devotion. We're talking here a little bit about how they served other gods. This morning, my call is that we serve the Lord as our only object of devotion. And here we see our commitment is continued. Serve him in sincerity and in truth. Serve him with genuine faith and absolute truth. A deepening level of commitment. Verse 14, put away responsibility on our part. We have work to do. Complete commitment will not allow for partial devotion. Complete commitment will not arise from a lukewarm heart. Put away the gods. The people were involved in idolatry. I trust we're not serving small g gods today. However, anything that we consider is of greater importance than God in our lives is considered idolatry. William Cowper, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, says this, "The dearest idols I have known, whate'er that idol be, help me that idol to dethrone and worship only thee." When we talk about commitment, we're talking about complete and total commitment, and there's not room for anything else on the throne in our lives. Is Christ on the throne room in your hearts? Are we serving him faithfully? Or is there something else in our lives that's distracting us from his will for our lives? The devil would love that, to take you down the wrong path and lead you to destruction. But no, we're not going to do that. Those who rejected the Sunday school lesson, that verses is harsh. He destroyed those murderers. And the one that came with him without wedding garments bound him hand and foot and cast him into outer darkness. We heard it this morning. Is there anything in our life that we say that's more important than God? True commitment will place God on the highest place in our heart. God will take top priority in our lives. Verse 14, the call is for us to put away distractions. Put away desires that will cause you to lose your focus on God's will for your life. And I hope and trust that we're all there. Ready? We can look at verse 14. Says, I've done that. Great. Verse 15, this is Joshua speaking to the people. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Verse 15, we can reword that. If serving the Lord feels too difficult or too undesirable for you, these people were given a choice. Then go and serve the God your father served. If you're saying the Lord, you cannot do that, you cannot commit yourself to that, then go serve the other gods that your father served. And it's kind of like Joshua, hang on, can't you somehow give these people some motivation to make them come serve God? He said, no, if you want to do that, go for it. Joshua presented them with an option. Are you going to serve the false gods, or are you going to serve the one and only true God? You're free to choose. Make your own decision. Be an adult. Don't do what's right in your own eyes. But then he added, before he gave them the option to answer, he said this, but as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. And here we see commitment. Joshua said, I don't care what you decide. Actually, it's not in the King James that he said that. But he said, me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Joshua made it clear that their choice was not going to affect his decision. He made his choice before he gave them time to answer. Joshua was willing to stand alone with his family. And friends, let's be Joshua's this morning. We'll see that at the end here in a couple minutes. But let's be Joshua's this morning. He was a fine example of commitment. Victorious Christian living requires a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot go through life coasting through life without a purpose. We need purpose. If we say, oh, well, whatever the day brings, that's what we'll go with, we're going to fall. We need purpose. We need commitment. We need to say, Lord, I will follow you regardless of what it takes. I will stand alone as Joshua was willing to do. We'll read here shortly that he did not have to stand alone. Are you willing to stand alone? Are you willing to say, I'm not going to go with the flow. I am going to serve the Lord. That was a lot to get to point number one. Point number one is commitment is a choice. Commitment is a choice. Men, you heard me say it. I'll tell you ladies as well. Nate taught this morning, and he explained verse 14 well, and I trust Brenda did the same. Verse 14, for many are called, but few are chosen. Talk about that over lunch today. Many are called, but few are chosen. We have a choice to make. That chosen is when we accept, then God will call us. Include us in with that commitment. Joshua gave the Israelites a choice many years ago, and today, folks, we have a choice today. We will serve the Lord with full. Will you serve the Lord with full or partial commitment? Wavering between the options is a dangerous place to be. There's no such decision as being neutral when it comes to your relationship with God. The gift of eternal life is presented. The gift of eternal life is there. It's for all who accept it. So there are two choices. Either we are going to accept the Lord as our Savior, or we're going to reject Him. Sunday school lesson brought it out clearly. And I found some, I like to call it staggering. Maybe you won't. I found something in my studies that I thought was staggering. And they said this, indecision is a decision. Do you ever look at it that way? So you could say, Lean, are you going to go, help me out, snowboarding, which I don't. Are you going to go skiing with me on Saturday? Let me think about that. So I'm here. I'm not trying to, I don't know yet. I'll let you know. That's indecision. I'm not sure yet. Indecision is a decision. Indecision is saying no to the Lord. Remember I said we have two? And Nate mentioned it, or the Sunday school lesson mentioned it as well. Either we're going to accept or we're going to reject. Are you going to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, or are you going to reject Him? And if I say, well, I'm not sure yet, well, you made a decision. That's indecision. And indecision is saying no, because if you didn't say yes, then you said no. And that's harsh. But where are we at? And I know you well enough to know where you're at. But indecision is a decision. And the point Joshua was was trying to get across was the call to undivided loyalty and genuine commitment. Undivided loyalty and genuine commitment. As was the call from Elijah in 1 Kings 18:21. You know the story well. Elijah came unto the people and said, "How long halt you between two opinions? How long are you going to try to decide? If the Lord be God, then follow him. If it's Baal, then follow him." And the people answered him not a word. Kind of speechless like that guy in our Sunday school lesson. We know that story well back there when Elijah. But the call is the same for us today. Both Joshua and Elijah were dealing with the sin of idolatry. And my question is, are we guilty of lukewarm Christianity? Is there something in our lives that's drawing us away from the Lord? Or are we serving him with our all? And I trust that, hope and trust, that's where we are at. We're giving him our all. So the people made a commitment in verses 16 through 18, back to Joshua 24. And the people answered and said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and presented us in all the way wherein we went, and among all people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out them from before all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore, we will also serve the Lord, for he is our God." So here we see that they made a commitment. They were willing to follow on Joshua's commitment. They did not want to forsake the Lord and serve other gods. They recognized it was the Lord who brought them out of the land of Egypt. And they were committed to serving the Lord. And he said, "He is our God." Praise the Lord. They made a good choice. Commitment is a choice. A choice that everyone will need to make. Commitment is a choice that each one of us will need to make. So may we renew or strengthen our commitment to God. And as we do that, let's deny anything that will cause us to fall away from his will for our lives. The choice is yours. Where is your level of commitment? The second point is, you will need to choose for yourself. I've never heard of any case where the Lord forced someone to serve him. Jesus Christ died and rose again to provide a way for all born-again believers to go to their eternal reward with their Heavenly Father. And all who enter the glories of heaven will enter by their own choice that they have made to believe in Jesus Christ and allow him to be the master of their lives. So whether we are making that choice for the first time or whether you are renewing your commitment to the Lord, it is a decision that you will need to make for yourself. And I'm confident that wherever you're at this morning, you will know when the Lord is calling. This morning, the Lord might be saying you need to make your commitment for the first time. This morning, the Lord might be saying you need to renew your commitment, but you will know. What is the Lord telling you this morning? No one can make that choice for you. Joshua could not make that for the Israelites, and your parents and your teachers and your grandparents cannot make that choice for you. But we will be held accountable for the decisions that we make in life. And do we feel the urgency for commitment? I just see that urgency for a deeper commitment. And I like to encourage your believers to a stronger commitment of service to the Lord. If you're here this morning and you have not accepted the Lord, please do not be misled into thinking that, well, I attend church, I will be fine. That's not the truth. Don't be misled by thinking, well, I'm on good terms with my pastors, I'll be fine. That's not the truth. Don't be thinking, well, my parents and grandparents were committed Christians for years, I have nothing to worry about. That's not the truth. The truth remains, you cannot serve the Lord with genuine commitment on the merits of someone else. You need to make the choice yourself. Look at verses 19 through and 20. Joshua was not quite ready to lead the people go. Joshua said unto the people, "You cannot serve the Lord your God. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your trespasses nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you. After that, he hath done you good." Excuse me. Verse 19, we see here the demand for exclusive loyalty to God. I repeat, above all else. Throughout the Old Testament, the Israelites were told not to worship other gods, for the Lord is a jealous God. And the jealousy, this jealousy is the divine jealousy of God, who rightly demands full devotion and worship from his people. And how can you say rightly demands? Well, look at what he did for the children of Israel in the first 13 verses here of this chapter. Remember what God does for has done for us. And he deserves, we could use that word, he deserves our full devotion and worship. In Joshua 20, in verse 19 here, he is warning the Israelites that serving the Lord is not a small matter. It's one that is a decision that requires complete allegiance and reverence. And here we see the urgent need for commitment. Every believer here this morning has been saved. God has done a mighty work in your life, and we owe him our all, full surrender and full commitment. Victorious Christian living requires a commitment to our Lord Jesus Christ. And the third point is we are witnesses, verse 22. And Joshua said unto the people, "You are witnesses against yourself that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve him." And they said, "We are witnesses." I think Joshua got his point across to the Israelites. Their true colors were revealed in verse 21 when they said that we will serve the Lord. And now he calls them to be witnesses. By calling themselves witnesses, they're making a decision to follow the Lord with their all. By agreeing to be witnesses, they were saying they're going to pass their commitments on to the coming generation. What does a witness do? They tell people what they saw or what they heard. And here they're saying they're going to be witnesses, which means they're going to pass their commitments on to the next generation. And here I see another responsibility for us today. Yes, I believe it is true that everyone will someday reach the age of accountability where they will make the choice for themselves to follow the Lord. But another thing that we see here in Joshua is that Joshua himself took on the responsibility for his entire family. And I gather from that and say, rise up, O men of God and O women of God. Be a witness for your family. Lead your family in the way of truth. Show them the way to Jesus Christ. Parents, and myself included, we are unable to force our children to believe in and to pursue the heart of God. We are unable to do that. Of all things that we can do, we cannot force our children to do that. But along with that, we do have an obligation to lead, teach, and explain the gospel to our families, to the coming generation, to the future church. That is our responsibility. No, we can't force, but we can lead and teach them. For our families and our churches to be committed as parents, we need to be committed. We need to practice what we teach. We need to live what we say. We need to be a clear witness for the Lord. The Lord will not hold us accountable for the path of our children if we are faithfully showing them the way to the cross. Parents, do your children know the way of the cross leads home? Do your children know the path to Christ? Without commitment in our lives, we cannot teach commitment to others. I believe that others can see, feel, and acknowledge commitment in your life when it's there. I also believe that a committed child of God will not be able to hide his commitment to the Lord. People will know your level of commitment. Now, I'm not asking people to judge you and say, well, what's that person's commitment? That's not the point. I told you to ask the Lord that. But people will know when you are committed. A quote from Sam Storms, I quote, "It is not your business to save them," speaking of our children. And that's why Sam said that. He goes on to say, "But it is your calling to put them in an atmosphere at home and in the church where God can." We have a responsibility. You cannot grab your child and say, "You will accept the Lord. You will." No, we can't do that. And please don't even try. But we can put them in an atmosphere where God can. We're his servants. We're leading our people to, we're committed Christians, and we're going to take our commitment and pass it on to the next generation. And in return, they're going to do that. Your children sitting beside you this morning, folks, are the future church. your pastors here are great. They didn't pay me to say that. They're great, but you fast forward, I'll say 30, 35 years, they're going to say, let's pass this on. And it might be the child sitting beside you. Are you teaching your children commitment? Are you passing it on to the others? I thought Sam's, what he said was so profound. We need to put them in an atmosphere where God can save them. Remember the song the Garment of Praise sang years ago? The young boy said, show me the cross and I'll find my way home. And I say, that is beautiful. He was lost, but to show me the cross and I'll find my way home. Proverbs 22:6, you could probably all recite it by memory. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Let's switch to the sad part for just a few sentences. In some cases, people may need to stand alone for the Lord. Now, Joshua did, but people need to stand alone for the Lord while their own spouses may mock and despise them. That may happen. In some cases, children may not embrace the faith of their parent. That may happen. But let me switch to some facts here real quick. But whatever the case may be, God is calling you like he called the Israelites to commit yourself wholeheartedly to him. Let's not say, well, I am who I am because of this or that. No, no, no. We can't go there. God is calling you to commit yourself to him. We heard the song, heaven will surely be worth it all. And because of what God has done for us, may we remember that heaven will be worth it. And may so with that thought in mind, may we renew or strengthen our commitment to God, denying anything that will lead us away from him. Any distraction in life, we need to go back to verse 14, is it? Yeah, and we need to put it away so we can focus clearly on the Lord. And the thought might come up, you know, is God asking too much of us? Come on, God. Life is good. Let's live. You're exactly right. But God's not asking too much. Remember the Israelites, as I mentioned, that without the presence and power of God, they would never have made it out of the land of Egypt. I think you remember that. With that thought in mind, where would you be, where would I be today if it had not been for Jesus Christ? Let's give him our all. Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And here I see an unwavering commitment to the Lord. I am not ashamed of the power of Christ. I will live it, I will teach it, I'll pass it on to the next coming generation. I think we need to just to try to understand that determination that Joshua had. And I think he also would do us good to follow his example. Picture that large group of people that Joshua was speaking to, and picture the people trying to decide who they're going to serve. Joshua reminding them what God had done for them. And then he gives them, opens up with a choice. But before they had time to answer, Joshua told the people, make your decision, but as for me and my family, we are going to serve the Lord. Wow. Go Joshua. What an example of commitment. No matter what anyone else decides, even if it means stand alone, God, I will serve you. God, you can count on me. God, I am on your side. God, I will not give in to the pressures of the majority. Is standing alone easy? No. Maybe God's calling you to that. God, I will not sacrifice my faith for temporal comfort. We're living in a land of a soft life, I believe. But let's not sacrifice our faith for temporary comfort. God, I will not interchange my commitment to you for popularity in this world. We talk about rising up the next rung on the ladder to get higher and higher in the business world. No, 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 no. I will not interchange my commitment for popularity. God, I will not serve the gods of materialism and self-indulgence over a righteous God as you are. Materialism, another thing that we have to be careful of. God, I will not do that. Let it be known, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Is that your testimony this morning? Verses 23 and 24, now therefore, put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord your God. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice will we obey. I'm out of time, not going to dive into it too far, but I'd like just to, if you want to do something this afternoon, dive into the part, incline your heart. Is your heart inclined unto the Lord? This world, I believe, is in urgent need of more men and women like Joshua. So I'd like to ask you this morning, if you make a promise or a commitment to the Lord, make a promise, Lord, today that you would be a committed person like Joshua, saying with confidence and with power and with authority from the bottom of your heart, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, or I will serve the Lord. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord, we come before you this morning. Thank you, God, for the commitment we could see from Joshua here. And I pray that each soul here this morning could make that commitment as well. If there are those here this morning that need to make rekindle their commitment, that they would be willing to do that. If there are those here this morning that never made a commitment, they would go to their parents and say, Lord, say, Mom or Dad, I want to become a child of God. I pray, Lord, that the Church of Waterworks can be committed to serving you. I pray, Lord, that people that can know without a shadow of a doubt that there's commitment here. And may we, like Joshua, rise up and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Lord, there's an urgency for commitment, and I pray that we can be fulfilling our will for our lives, not allowing anything to distract us, but following you faithfully. Dismiss us with your blessing. In your name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Can we stand for a closing song, please?